At the end of your Thanksgiving feast, you might have reached for a cup of coffee to go with that pumpkin pie or poured one to get you going as you headed out on the road for the drive back home. It costs around 15 to 20 cents to brew a cup of coffee at home, and coffee shops can charge way more, but the tropical farmers who actually grow the coffee typically get less than a penny for a cup's worth of beans. But there is a change on the way, at least as far as a Portland, Oregon-based nonprofit is concerned. Crystal Liguori from Oregon Public Broadcasting has the story.
At an industrial building in southeast Portland, Steve Kerbach and Brian Ferreira are tasting coffee.
Had a nice weightiness, like a tackiness to it. And then overall, I enjoyed this coffee. So I was an 87.25 on this coffee.
Yeah, this was my favorite on the table. I also scored an 87.25.
Kerbach is an 18-year coffee veteran and the director of sourcing and manufacturing at Cova Coffee Roasters. He and lab manager Greenbuyer Freire do these cuppings multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, to evaluate their coffees.
Golden raisin, some fig on the nose, red apple, clove.
Brown sugar, stone fruit, hibiscus.
Dulce de leche, some pear, trail mix, cocoa.
But how we talk about coffee, how it's evaluated, scored, and subsequently priced, it hasn't always been this way. In fact, people only started using the term specialty coffee in the 1970s. That's the underlying idea that, much like wine, specific microclimates and coffee varietals produce different flavor profiles of coffee. Think the difference between a Red Delicious apple and a Honeycrisp. You probably drink coffee without thinking much about where it starts, so you may not know that that coffee bean isn't actually a bean at all.
I think most people don't realize that coffee comes from a cherry. A lot of times the look on their faces is, what?
That's Susie Spindler. She's an icon in the specialty coffee industry, who in the late 80s answered an ad in a Chicago newspaper with a pretty catchy opening line.
Do you love coffee?
Spindler ended up working for the International Coffee Organization, and in 1997 was tapped to be part of the Gourmet Coffee Project. It was an effort by a group of trade organizations to study transparency in the supply chain in five countries: Uganda, Bolivia, Ethiopia, Papua New Guinea, and Brazil. The idea was to get growers more money for producing better quality coffee, and in turn, reduce the economic vulnerability for those coffee-growing countries. Historically, coffee exported from a region was lumped together, sometimes literally, without much thought on the type of coffee or how it was grown or produced. So Spindler and a colleague were tasked with finding out if Brazil, the world's largest coffee-producing country, could grow that higher-quality coffee. And it could. But changing the minds of people like importers and roasters wasn't easy.
We couldn't convince anybody that it was not just a fluke. It wasn't going to happen.
So they thought having a coffee competition in Brazil could be the answer. They'd bring judges in to taste the coffees, rank them, and award the best. But that idea quickly shifted.
Well, at the end of the day, when we got to thinking about this strategy, we went, well, what good is a certificate? You can't take a certificate to the grocery store. You can't take a certificate to the bank. And what is it going to do to change coffee prices? Nothing.
Instead, they turned to the internet. This was 1999, just a few years after eBay started and was becoming a recognizable concept. They decided to build their own auction platform. They picked 10 coffees to auction off to the highest bidder.
The rest is kind of history, I guess. I think the number one coffee was certainly less than $3 a pound. And it just, I mean, it went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
That winning coffee sold for $2.60 a pound, more than double the commodity market price for coffee. Here's why that's important. Coffee is sold on commodities markets around the world, just like wheat, cotton, sugar, and plenty of other agricultural products. But the system is flawed when it comes to coffee. For example, today's current commodities market rate for coffee was 96 cents a pound, but on average, it costs around $1.40 a pound to produce. So Cup of Excellence auctions help connect growers with buyers who actually cared about and would pay more for higher quality coffee. That first auction started to change the whole mindset around where specialty coffee could come from. So with the help of the Brazil Specialty Coffee Association, another auction was held, this time being called Best of Brazil.
And I'll never forget this day, sitting in the cupping room with the discussion and hearing one of the cuppers go, "What country are we in? Brazil doesn't produce this kind of coffee.
Spindler ended up co-founding the Alliance for Coffee Excellence to oversee the Cup of Excellence program. They've held over 140 auctions in more than a dozen countries. And this month, they celebrate their 20th anniversary. Back in the cupping lab, the guys at Cova are evaluating everything from acidity to mouthfeel on a cupping form that looks a lot like a math worksheet. There's a specific process to cupping, from how coarsely ground the beans are to the temperature of the water to that aeration or slurp of the brew. From a cafe in Oregon to a farm in Ethiopia, it's something that can be replicated anywhere. And it needs to be, because it's how coffee across the world is evaluated now, by third-wave coffee companies like Stumptown or Intelligentsia, to small micro-roasters in Europe, to the biggies like Starbucks or Peet's. Here's Kerbach again.
Specialty coffee is from 80 and above, but there's a huge discrepancy between 80 and 86. Even within the smaller range of like 84 and above, there are very distinct price tiers typically.
Coffees in Cup of Excellence auctions must score 87 or higher. This past summer, Kerbach was a head judge for a Yemen auction, and the competitions are fierce. Before the auction even begins, judges evaluate up to 9,000 samples, with the top coffees tasted more than 100 times. But this world of specialty coffee can often feel disconnected from your everyday drinker.
Somewhere down the line, it was established that a dollar cup of coffee is okay. And that probably should have never happened. You know what I mean? Like, that only happened because somebody was getting exploited.
The Alliance for Coffee Excellence showed coffee farmers that extra work was worth it, from being selective about picking only the ripest cherries to using different methods to process the coffee beans. In the end, people would pay more for better quality coffee. Here's Susie Spindler again.
There's a lot of charities out there. There's a lot of NGOs out there. There's a lot of different kind of organizations that try to help farmers. But the Alliance for Coffee Excellence, if you look at the structure of it, what it does is it asks the marketplace to do the right thing for the farmers and just provides the structure in the middle of it to make that happen.
And after two decades, the Cup of Excellence auctions have brought in more than $60 million for farmers.
That's Crystal Lagori from Oregon Public Broadcasting.